This episode is sponsored by Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements. Use promo code CHATFIELDS to receive 20% off your first order from Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements.
Welcome to Chats with the Chatfields. This is a podcast to expand your idea of what impacts veterinarians, pet owners, and basically all animal lovers in the galaxy is humans. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Jen the Vet.
And I'm Dr. Jason.
If you have not yet subscribed to our show,
why not?
Just head to chatfieldshow.com and subscribe today. And if you want to reach us and you've got a positive message full of love, you can find me at jen@chatfieldshow.com.
Or for every other message that's actually truthful and honest, you can reach me at jason@chatfieldshow.com.
Okay, into the chat room today. I'm very excited. Jason, we have a very energetic guest that I think the chatterboxes are going to find very interesting.
I do too.
Okay. So I've known
her. How about that for energy?
I know.
No pressure.
I have known her for, I think like 8 or 9 years, maybe 10 years.
Yeah. And she still talks to you?
Yeah.
This is a plus in her book. All right.
Right. She's tough.
Infinite amounts of patience.
Yes, that's true. She is not an infinitely patient person.
She obviously is.
Right. But what I'm excited about is she just started vet school.
Oh.
Yes.
I perked up with that. That's always exciting.
Yes, at Mississippi State. And
well, we won't hold that against
her. Don't hate.
I mean, she says don't hate. It's not Texas A&M, but it's Mississippi State. It's still a solid school. Anyway, so let's just bring her on in so we can get to it. How about that?
Go ahead. Right?
Okay. So everyone, please warm welcome for our friend, Veronica List. Hey, V. How are you?
Hey guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good. So I'm super excited for you to join us because I think, the journey to becoming a veterinarian is an interesting one. And you, I think of all people are going to have a super interesting journey because you already have had.
It's already been pretty interesting.
I know. Okay. So tell us Mississippi State, you've already started school, right?
Yes. Yep. This is our fourth week. That's pretty exciting. I've made it 4 weeks.
4 weeks?
Yeah, it's like a month. Like we'll round it up and say a month. Like
I don't know when this is gonna when the listeners are gonna actually hear this, but it's in the middle of the summer.
Yes,
and you're already 4 weeks in. It's already very different than umpteen million years ago when Dr. Jen went to vet school.
What? So. What is that about?
And Dr. Jason, yes. When Dr. Jen and Dr. Jason went to vet school, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So all right. So tell us about that because most veterinary schools start like on a traditional school calendar. August, they have one semester, August to December. And then you have, second semester, January till like what, May. And then you have summer off.
That's my point. Is that still true? Like I'm only joking about how long ago it was, but it was long enough ago for that to have changed. And education has changed a ton over the last, half decade or whatever. So maybe that's not true, but I think it probably is. What do you know?
So, I mean, Veronica. I can only 100% speak about Mississippi State because that's where I'm going. I don't know what Penn's doing or A&M's doing, but I do know that they do have a little bit of a different time frame, schedule, whatever you want to call it.
Huh. Okay.
And part of that is, and I really like this, and it's one of the reasons that I chose Mississippi State. The other reason is I live here now and I'm a resident, so that's beneficial.
Reason to ching.
Yeah.
But you know what though? Like that's like we giggle, but that's not a laughable thing. Like for everyone listening, if you haven't been to vet school, like usually you go to a school that accepts you, and B, you go to a school where you're a resident in that state because it's half price.
Or you quickly become a resident.
Or you quickly become a resident wherever you got in. Although they don't really allow that.
So yeah, and that's one of the things I will tell you that I learned. So when I went and got my undergrad, when you guys were getting your BBMs, right? It was like, that's what I did. I went to Philadelphia and established my residency and then got in-state tuition. You can't do that anymore. You have to establish your residency before you go or you are not a resident because
you got to pay 4 years of out-of-state tuition.
Yes.
I guess someone got wise to that.
A lot of vet schools actually do that now too. And they were doing that before even when we were in school. But okay. So All right. So you've started. So you've got like 4 years, but like, let's tell everybody like how you got to vet school, because you're like a non-traditional student because you did undergrad, but not yesterday. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very non-traditional. So I'm astonished. Our class average age is 22 and I don't understand how that's possible when I'm 41. So like, you'd think that would shift it a little, right?
Yeah. Jeez, your average age is 22.
That's 22. Young.
That's very, I think we're just going to do this. You're going to say something, then I'm going to say what my class was, and Dr. Jen's going to say what her class was. It's just how the whole conversation is going to go. But it was 26, 25 and a half or something like that was the average age for our 25 and a half. It's okay. Crazy.
So remember when you guys went, what was your class size? So
this is like 9,000.
120.
But it was 100 and something.
Was it really? 125. Oh.
Okay. So Mississippi State 20 years ago, their class size was like 40.
Right.
Now it's 114. We are the largest class. I think it's 114 they've ever had.
Yeah. But so, a lot of schools in the last 10 years have expanded their class because they need money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, Florida increased their class size by 50%.
Oh my gosh.
And over a 4-year period. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I don't know how it's possible that it's 22. There are some like really young, like 20. There is a girl in my lab that is so young. I said, oh, we'll buy you a glass of wine. I said, wait a minute, how old are you? And she said, I'm 20. I said, never mind.
Oh, I'm not contributing to the minor.
We had an 18-year-old in my class.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happened.
We didn't have any of that. We were very normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so you're non-traditional, which means that you had a career before you went to vet school.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
So I've got a lot of careers. I'm like Dr. Jen the vet. I just wasn't a vet a lot of different places.
That's funny.
So neither one of us could hold a job.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just, I didn't like that. So I moved on. And it seems like that when I say how many things I've done, but really I did some of them for a long time. Yep. So I was a vet tech for a very long time.
Yep.
And then I realized I had to feed myself. So I had to kind of get out of that. And I went into public health for 7 years, which is actually where I met you.
Yep.
Because you taught some of my classes and we went to some trainings together.
Yep.
And that was awesome. And then I joined the MRC because of your advice and did that at that capacity. And then after I was at the health department for 7 years, I got a second associate's in crime scene and I went and worked for the sheriff's department for 5 years in forensics.
What? Wait. I know, right? So she was
That's
a CSI.
That's crazy different.
She's like a CSI person. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of goes back though to that whole, I always wanted to be a vet. I always wanted to be in the veterinary field. And it's that investigative side, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a problem. What is the problem? You know? So I kind of always like that, the puzzle side. So I did that for 5 years. I got my master's in forensic science from UF. And then when I lost my job, I went into sales with forensics. I did forensic technical sales. And I loved
my
job.
Okay. Wait.
Sorry.
The forensic technical sales. What is that?
Yeah,
like what were you guys selling?
So we made laser scanners for crime scene reconstruction. So really, really cool, super scientific, like, ooh, people go, oh, I can't believe that's a thing. You put a big 3D laser scanner in a crime scene and it scans it and it documents everything for you. And it's very, 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 it's down to the millimeter precise.
That's like in the movies.
It's very cool.
It's like on CSI when they do that and you're just like, that's why I'm not watching the show anymore. That is so unrealistic. That can't happen. But it does, huh? That's
so
awesome.
That's what we made. And it was an awesome product. And we had it at my forensic unit. And then I did that for 2 years and I lost my job right when COVID hit. Like they were going through restructuring and I got laid off. And my fiance said, I want you to take some time and really think about what you want to do. And, you know, and I looked at Mississippi State, just kind of, I don't know, it was always in the back of my head. And I went on their website and I looked at their requirements and I was like, I could maybe do this. Like,
got them.
Maybe. Like, I'm like, huh. So I decided to devote a year to seeing if I could get in and I did. And it's awesome.
And here you are.
Here I am.
That's right.
Well, good for you for devoting a year. I mean, that's just like a one time. That's like a one offer then, right? It was all or none on one application. Look at you.
It was all or none.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
I know, but the reason that I had you say that is because I think that a lot of people, when you find yourself standing in an exam room, you know, 3.5 years from now, 4 years from now, when you're Dr. V,
hopefully.
those pet owners are not necessarily going to realize kind of the diversity of knowledge that you're standing on the other side of the exam table with, because every veterinarian has a different path to getting to where they are, right? And so I think that's incredible. And the perspective that I think you'll bring when you're assessing stuff is going to be really interesting, just because of your background with, you know, public health epidemiology and then the forensic piece, I think is going to be really interesting.
Cognitive thinking that goes along with forensics and epidemiology is going to help, maybe not in your first year anatomy class, but when you get into the other kind of classes where they sort of teach you how to think about problem solving, you're going to be like everyone's favorite partner, I think.
Right.
I hope so. It's funny.
Otherwise, the opposite of what I was, right? Everyone's favorite partner. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was no one's favorite partner. Mm-hmm. Nope. I was like the dead weight dragging the dragging the group down.
Nobody believes that. No one believes that.
It's true. All my classmates that are listening are laughing right now and saying, "Oh yeah, yeah, she was. She was." Yeah. So you've just started. And so you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna hear all about your first month, but we're gonna take a break first. We're gonna take a very quick break, folks. Hang with us. We'll be right back with V from Vet School.
With all the fuss happening in the pet food industry, why not invest in something to help guard against digestive health derangements in your pet? Full Buckets probiotics are formulated by veterinarians to support your pet's normal digestive health. Your pet's gut microbiome is integral to their immune system performance. Why not add Full Buckets Daily Dog or Daily Cat probiotic powder to your pet's daily routine? To curate, protect, maintain, and strengthen your pet's microbiome. Visit fullbuckethealth.com today to check out all of their veterinary strength supplements.
Okay, and we're back. And in the chat room today, Dr. Jason and I are waxing a bit nostalgic with our friend.
We're feeling quite old is what we're doing. Let's be honest. I mean, I was thinking about how long ago it was when I was in vet school. It was forever ago, right? Yeah. No iPhones, right? I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on and talk about the future.
That's right. Let's talk about the future. Because we have in the chat room today with us, Veronica, also known as V, who's sharing with us because she's completed the first 4 weeks of vet school at Mississippi State. Okay. So have you had any exams yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I have had two exams and a quiz.
Okay. Well, first of all, actually, we should share with everybody, like, what classes do you take the first semester?
Oh, okay. So let's see if I get this right. If I don't, it'll be very upsetting. So we have immunology, histology, anatomy, physiology, and professional development. Currently, in a month or so, professional development one, immunology and histology will drop off. We'll be done. And then we will start neuroscience and infectious agents and professional development too.
Okay. Are you taking micro? No, not yet. That's infectious elements or whatever.
I think they have that kind of like broken up into a couple things because like there's infectious agents and then parasitology. So.
Okay. Yeah. Oh no. Parasitology is always a standalone. Lots of bugs, lots of parasites, but, okay. Interesting. So that's a heavy load.
It's 26 credits this first semester.
Wow.
And then 18 the second semester. So.
All right, come on, pick up some weight, Mississippi State. This is ridiculous. We're 32, right? Every semester we were 32. Oh my God. Yeah. You guys are just lightweight.
Was that fluff? I mean, that sounds like maybe.
No, says a girl taking professional development one and two.
That's like music appreciation for professional students.
I'm just playing. That's a ton of hours. I know it's all day. It's like all day, every day, right?
That's
labs,
right.
8-hour labs. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, luckily they've restructured that a little too. So we only have anatomy lab for 2 hours a week and we have histology lab for 2 hours a week. And then the rest of it's kind of up to your discretion to come in and look at your stuff. Cause we're,
That's cool.
Wow. That's very different. So,
and more time to study. So
and,
it's nice.
And anatomy lab. I know that they're doing that different, right? Like, so when we were in school, like you had your group of three people, you had your guide to the dissection, and you basically spent the first semester dissecting a dog, right?
Yeah.
But you guys do it differently.
So, yeah. So like, I guess they kind of with COVID really is why I think they did a lot of restructuring here. They used to do that. Here's your dog. Here's four people.
Get to it. Learn it all.
Right. But with COVID, people couldn't be all close like that. So I think that's what made this happen. So they basically decided they were going to, like, the professors were doing the bulk of the dissecting, right? So that the students would stop butchering their specimens, right? And
look, every inappropriate cut on your cadaver was a landmark on the exam.
Right. So now this way they do the cutting. We come in, look at what we're supposed to look at that week, you know, and we like, you know, they've removed things and okay, now this is where we're looking at. And that's how it's going.
That's how you guys are doing it right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what I think about that. It's different. I mean, I thought it was always good to learn by doing it, but I didn't do it the other way. So maybe you learn more. I don't really know, but that's certainly a different way of doing it. So,
I have mixed feelings on it. I feel the same way. The first anatomy class I took in my undergrad was us doing it. And it kind of gave you that experience of cutting, but let's face it, you guys know as well as I do, dead things are very different from living things. So it's not like cutting a living animal for surgery.
Did you learn that in your first 4 weeks of vet school? The dead things are very different than life. They're doing so good over there in Mississippi.
I learned that in forensics.
Oh, good. I bet you did. You brought that with you, did you? You didn't have to learn that.
I was like, oh, and this dead stuff smells so much better than the dead stuff.
Oh my God. And see, that's what I'm thinking. All the formaldehyde, all the formalin that is clearly aerosolized with all the cadavers. I would have thought that would have neutralized any COVID that was floating right, around seriously. In the air, but
no. I don't think they did studies on it, and you're probably right. They probably would have been totally fine.
Yep.
Yeah. But either way. So, okay. So that's awesome. So what are your classmates? Like, what's everybody thinking? I mean, cause you seem pretty calm. Today, four
you
weeks
got me
in.
On a good day. You got me on a good day, but I don't want to speak for anybody else. I think anyone that you would ask in my class would say there's a general feeling of anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. On a day-to-day basis. I think it's getting better as people take exams. So we've taken
or worse, right?
Or worse.
They don't do well. It gets worse, I promise.
Yeah, right.
I can tell you. Well, I would feel that way. Like if I had done bad, like really bad on my first exam, I would have been like, oh man, I'm doing everything wrong. I got to fix something. Oh gosh. You know, but I think for some people, luckily, like I will say they're staying positive and they're like, hey, at least now I know what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was refreshing. Cause I was like, God, I don't want people to be like
panicking
already ready to off themselves. Right.
Right.
In month one. So, right. You know, and I think, I don't know. I think it's going well.
Meh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so the students that you have in your class, did they all like know when they were 2 years old, they wanted to be a veterinarian and they went right from undergrad or.
Well, 22. Yeah. I would say most of them went right from undergrad without even knowing the stories. I almost have to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, since I'm non-traditional, I kind of gravitate towards the more non-traditional people.
Guys, huddle in the corner, talk about the kids.
Yeah. Like, oh no. But there are quite a few people. So Mississippi State was shooting towards diversifying this year and they do tend to focus a lot more on experience than I think some schools than the GPA. And so we have quite a few students that are 38, 39, 30, 31. There's a girl that was in the Army and she was a medic. And I don't think she always wanted to be a vet. She probably always liked doing that kind of thing, but she obviously went and became a medic in the Army at some point.
Yeah.
There's a couple of people that went and got their master's. So they were like biology, didn't quite know. So I don't think everyone's that, I always wanted to be a vet. But I think there's probably a lot of people that always had the passion, you know, for it in some capacity. I don't know. I would say there's quite a few people that don't have that much experience though in the field.
If they wanted to diversify, does that mean they let a bunch of boys in?
We do have a lot of boys.
I mean, I'm not, you think you mean one thing by diversify, but in vet school, it was like 296% women and, you know, a couple dudes running around. It's a bunch of cowboys, right? Is that how it is there? Or y'all have like 50-50 or what is it?
No. Oh no, we don't have 50-50. That's crazy.
Sorry.
18 or 19 guys. And then the rest are women. So it's a little higher than usual.
Right. Like, right.
80-20. It's better than 90-10, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad to see those guys there, to be honest with you. It's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit different. So I think you probably, since you worked as a veterinary technician for so long before going into vet school, has there been anything yet where you're like, wait, what?
tons of stuff. Like, I feel like everything I know is like outdated other than like vaccine stuff, right? Like, I feel like I'm like, okay, that I'm pretty on top of. But just, you know, veterinary medicine changes a lot. The last 20, 30 years, I think there's a lot more technology. I learned so much from you every time we talk. And so like things like PCR, that was not a thing when I was working in practice. And it at the practice that I worked at, it probably still wouldn't be a thing, you know, like, we used to joke. It was like veterinary medicine when you're camping. So if we don't have it when you're camping, we probably don't have it in our clinic.
That's funny. Never heard of that. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, you know, like, cause we would have other vets come into our clinic that had never worked there before, you know, and they'd be like, well, do you have, and we're like, no, we don't have that.
No, you could just stop right there. No.
Where's this machine? Right. Where do you keep your,
we might have an x-ray machine today.
Yeah.
Right. That's funny. So,
you know,
yeah. So has there been any kind of funny stuff pop up yet? Cause I know like in our class there was always jokes. I mean, there's funny things that persist even like till today. And if you talk to your classmates, you'll be like, remember, and we all laugh about something that happened first year. Do you have that, Jason?
Nope. Except for these people that put her picture up on the wall.
Group of the month. Yeah. But, so have you had any of those sorts of things happen? Like, you're like, oh, I bet we're going to remember that in fourth year, anything like that.
We have one professor we have a couple professors that have pretty good senses of humor. Uh-huh. So they'll come out with some stuff and we're just like, and it's like funny, you know. We had, Dr. Skipjack today. He's our histology teacher.
He's not your ichthyology teacher.
No. But he, well, and he is a fish guy. So, I mean, kind of like, but anyway, he showed us a video that one of the previous classes did. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. We were all sitting there like, is he really showing us this? So it was one of the like senior class, they were graduating and they did this like hip hop video. It was like four girls and a couple other people of veterinary terms. And I'm like listening to this and I'm like, this is incredibly talented of them. Like, they had it all coordinated and they had it videoed and they had, and just the words they put in there. I'm like, I don't even know what half these words are that they're saying, but this is hilarious.
You know what that's also called?
What?
Too much time.
Oh,
too much.
Well, they were graduating. So I think they were like celebrating that they had time again. I don't know.
Yeah. Although in parasitology, there's some songs and dances that go along with specific parasites. I don't know if your parasitologists will sing and dance like ours did, but you never forget them. So yeah, it's very effective.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that kind of stuff I look forward to. I was just a little surprised. Like, it's nice though. It kind of breaks the mood a little.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Jason, anything else you want to bring up?
No, I think it's exciting though. So are you're not, I'm 4 weeks into it, I think I remember I was one of the ones feeling super like, what am I doing? Is this what I want to do? We hadn't even had a test yet. And I was so like, all the words were different for me. I hadn't had any of these fancy anatomy or physiology classes. So it was like hitting me like a ton of bricks. But you do seem very calm and collected. So good for you. Or you're faking it to make it, which usually is what, you know, not 22-year-olds are good at. Like, we're good at, you know, we understand life a little more. Mm-hmm. And so good for you. But I do think that I was super terrified, right? At this point, 4 weeks in, I was like, oh my God, I've got some tests coming up. I'm going to just make a 12 on it. Right. So.
And then some of us did make a 12.
Yeah. Well, I made a 13, but
out of 100.
But I am still super terrified about anatomy, to be honest with you. Like, it's a lot. It's not my strong suit as far as memorization.
That's nobody's strong suit. Are you kidding me? They're going to ask you all kinds of, I mean, it's not that hard. You'll be fine. But once you get past, they don't ask you about a few things. So bump here and bump there.
Yeah. But you don't really need to know the super fancy name for stuff. You just need to know that it's there. So as you don't cut it. right? Unless you mean to cut it.
Except for the test. You got to know
Except for the test,
Dr. It's, Jen.
That's, well, that's true. But again, anatomy, not my gig. So I don't
know. Yeah, look at how amazing you are. So I like aspire, right? To, yeah.
Yeah. But we don't, but you don't, like, again, you don't have to know the big doctor word when you get out. Then we call you a nerd. No, I'm just kidding. I have friends that know the big doctor words, surgeons that know, they, you know, takes them 10 minutes to name a joint, type of thing.
Not because they forgot it, right? Because they're listing all of the, there's all of the names. I got a really important question. Oh, actually, Veronica, what is the fashion? Cause I'm looking at you right now and you're, for those of you who are listening and can't see that, you're very dressed up, very well put together, very professional.
Like business.
And I'd like to think it was just because of our awesome podcast, but maybe that's what you're doing every day. So what is the attire situation?
The dress code.
Yeah.
So is there a dress code? Our required dress code is business. It was a very lengthy explanation of what you could and could not wear. Now, I think it's a little over the top that we are at a place in society where we have to explicitly explain what business professional is, but that's okay. I get it. I'm an
22.
Adult. I think it's been that way for a while. Like they had to kind of explain it to us as well. And to be honest, I didn't know what business casual was when I got there. I was like, I have no idea. So,
well, it's not business casual. It's business professional.
Yes, it's professional. So now,
yeah, see, I don't even know now. Sorry.
That being said, like, I think they've been really good about it. I get why they do it. There's kids that wore sweatpants to, and I don't say young adults that wore sweatpants to their undergrad classes. That's not appropriate here. And that's basically the tone they're trying to set.
Right,
but yes, I have to wear professional attire. I did have to buy a couple blouses because I was a little like, I was like, well, I have these five, but then these not probably.
Right.
They're on the edge.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm all right. I need to find another black pair of pants and a navy pair of pants. So I'm on the lookout. Right. So,
yeah.
So have you seen like third and fourth years walking around? Are they looking, I guess they probably scrubs on, they get away with it. Right.
So they're in third years are in clinicals the whole time. So if we see them, they are in whatever scrub color.
They don't count. Right. What about second year? Are they still wearing the professional attires? It kind of slipped down a little bit.
Second year just came back this week. They just started and they are wearing either scrubs or professional attire. They have days, I think, when they must go to clinicals and they can work. So that's that.
Yeah. So, okay. So what are you most like excited about the opportunity for? Like, well, like, is there something coming up or like what are you excited about?
You know, it's hard for me to say that because I'm excited about everything.
Ah, vomit. What do you mean you're excited about everything? You're excited about the next physiology test? Not everything.
I'm excited to be a vet, right? So I'm just excited to be here. Like, I'm shocked that I got in, you know? You know me, Jen. I am a naysayer. Like, I never thought I would get in. And I'm just excited to be here.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm just living day to day. Like, I'm just getting,
I'm getting like, through today, getting through tomorrow. Right.
I had to go look at my schedule last week. So today's a good day, right? Felt good. I was coming from class and I was like, oh, that was a good lecture. I enjoyed that. Oh, this is a good day to do the podcast. Last week, I was like, I need to look at this schedule and find a happy place that I'm sailing towards because I'm only 3 weeks in and I'm feeling overwhelmed. Overwhelmed because I have test anxiety. Like I was like, I'm sure I'm going to fail everything. I'm going to get kicked out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Plus I got sent to the principal's office the second week. So,
we'll talk about that now. What are you talking about? What do you mean? We'll put that on a brief pause, but go ahead with your excitement or overwhelming stuff.
So I'm just very excited to be here in general. And then I'm taking it day to day. You know, I looked at my schedule. I'm like, okay, I'll be done with anatomy at the end of this year. I just have to get through this year.
That is something to celebrate.
Yeah, you're not alone with that. Nope.
No.
you are not alone.
Because like, we were in a lecture the other day and our professor was quizzing us, right? And it's like, oh, just say what this is, whatever. And people are answering around me and I'm like.
Those are the folks who took anatomy three times in undergrad. So
we call those the
fair.
Gunners. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Yep.
Well, I took anatomy twice, so I should be one of those people, but I'm still sitting there like.
It's a different level of terms though. I mean, it really is. So
I don't know. I didn't take undergraduate anatomy, so I don't have any idea. I just took anatomy in vet school, and it's like learning a new language. Yes. So it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. But even from, I didn't take an undergrad either, but either, even from undergrad to vet school, I mean, it has
is
to
it
be
different?
It's just a little, you have to know so much more and be so much more precise. It's a more precise language. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's true.
So like, you know, in undergrad, it was like, here's a scapula. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, now it's like, here's the 27 words of the scapula.
Right. Here's this little bump, this little depression, this little ridge next to that depression, which is past the bump. Yeah. That's yeah, all the tuberosity. I'm like, that's just a made up word. Tuberosity, right?
What are you talking
the
about?
The process, which one's which? I don't know. The fossa, the groove. I'm like, oh.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. No. Yes. Oh, good times. So let's move on to a different topic because that is like too much.
Yeah. Yeah, like the principal's office is.
Like, I'm having anxiety. Like,
right. See, right? I'm having a flashback. Yeah. Okay. Well, one thing that I can go ahead and share with all of our listeners that we're excited about is that we are going to start having a recurring segment in the podcast, and it won't be every episode, but it'll be with some frequency, and it is going to be short thoughts from vet school, and it's going to be V's view from vet school.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Like that?
Yeah.
So we'll get that little infusion of enthusiasm, optimism, and maybe a little sarcasm about the road, the road to becoming a professional, to becoming a veterinarian. And I think we'll all, I know Dr. Jason and I are going to enjoy it immensely. And I hope that pet owners will, because I don't know, gosh, Veronica, you spend a lot of time in practice too, talking with pet owners. People are always, when they get a second to ask and they think that, you know, that they can ask, they want to know about vet school.
Everything, every minute. They really do. They're very interested. It's a very interesting thing. If you're on the outside looking in, or you're thinking about going, or you wanted to go or whatever, they want to know kind of what happened. So this is going to be an awesome segment for that. Awesome.
Well, and I think it's very, like, a thing to throw out there is like some statistics that I learned in my pursuit of this, which is like, we are, so not me, you are like 0.001% of the United States are veterinarians. There are only 75,000 practicing veterinarians in the United States. There's 120 licensed veterinarians. Now,
wow. That's crazy. I would have thought it'd been way higher.
We could almost put all of you in the entire United States in our football stadium at Mississippi State.
Wow. Almost.
We can fit 65,000 people in there.
Wow.
So that's mind blowing to me.
Okay. Like
we could put all of us at one half of A&M stadium.
Right. We are stunned. We are currently stunned, friends. I didn't realize those numbers.
Yeah.
So, and then the profession is declining. Like people are leaving the profession more than coming into the profession. So, you know, I mean, that's amazing. Like all that to me is incredible, because this is what I've always wanted to do. And like you say all the time, Dr. Jen, like this, it's a great day to go to work. Like I can't, that's the reason why I'm doing this. Like I looked at myself and I'm like, I'm 40 years old. And if I'm going to have to work for 25 more years, I want to love what I do. And this is the only thing that I loved going to work every day. You have bad days. You'd be like, oh man, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Oh, this client's giving me problems, or, oh, you know, the practice manager makes me want to kill myself. But there are days.
Right.
The rest of the days, it's like, man, this is awesome. I love doing what I do. So
yeah, it's not day after day after day of that bad days.
Right.
So yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, so, I mean, that is the perspective that we are going to look forward to hearing little snippets of as you move through. And it doesn't always have to be like, we want realistic stuff, right? We want realistic stuff. It doesn't always have to be like, you know, super positive, optimistic, et cetera. We want the real, we want it real and raw.
I try to keep it less raw, because you guys know that my language can get a little out of hand, and this is a PG thing. So
I've been very impressed so far, by the way. I have my finger on the beat button here.
That's right.
So. I was going to ask if you had that thing ready, but
I'm ready. I think we decided it might be so much and so consistent. It was going to have to be a post-op production.
Yes,
right?
That's
so,
right. Well,
but no use.
We had to, we did have to find the bleep button for Isaiah in our cryptocurrency and Bitcoin episode. Yeah. So listeners, if you haven't gone to listen to that one yet, go check it out. We had to bleep the financial analyst.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause that's, see, I was going to be a smart and say something. I was going to say, well, cause that's effing stressful, but.
Right. No, not his. Not the way he does it. He is not distressed at all.
No, he loves it. He usually uses it when he was talking about something other than Bitcoin.
Yes. So. Then we had to use it.
Some other cryptocurrency.
His label for those coins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, good. Well, I'm looking forward to this. I think that's probably as much of your study time that we can steal today before you have to get back to it. Unless, Dr. Jason, unless you have another burning question about,
No, I got my tire situation in because I didn't know when I went. I didn't know what they were doing. And it's important, right? Got to teach the youngsters how to dress properly and be professional for sure.
That's right. Like V, do you have anything? Do you want to tease anything for upcoming stuff or anything else you want to let the chatterboxes know?
No, I mean, like, I've kind of thought a little bit about what to talk about. I kind of want to do a little bit on, like, make sure it's what you want to do kind of thing, like how hard it is to get in and mm-hmm. how much dedication it takes and, you know, that kind of thing. But we'll see. I'm sure something will come up.
Can they send you questions?
Sure.
Okay. So, yeah. So, folks, so you can drop a question. You can send it to info@chatfieldshow.com. We'll put the email address in the show notes. Don't worry. Don't drive off the road if you're in your car. Remain calm. But, yeah, you can send a question if you want. You can send encouragement for her if you would like as well. But, yeah, so we're going to look forward to checking in every so often. Other than that, Veronica, thanks so much for taking time today to chat with us out of studying.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. This was awesome, as always. Awesome chatting with the chat field.
Okay. All right. Well, that does it for us. I'm Dr. Jen.
And I'm Dr. Jason.
And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
This episode is sponsored by Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements. Use promo code CHATFIELDS to receive 20% off your first order from Full Bucket Veterinary Strength Supplements.